Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate you all being here. And although we got a little preview of Dr. Weinstein's presentation, which will be fantastic later, hopefully this will act as a little bit of an appetizer along the way. So again, I'm one of the primary care research fellows at Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia. This is supported in part by a HRSA grant for primary care fellowships. All right, so I have no relationships to discuss. And in this study, what we're really looking for is trying to talk about some of the demographic characteristics of frequent visitors to the emergency department. Some of you might have said, I've seen this talk before, and you probably have, because it is something that has been explored in some detail in the past. However, one of the things that we haven't really explored as much is the characteristics of the homeless individuals who are homeless and who are frequent users of the emergency department. Although there was a study in 2002 by Kuschel, it looked at self-reported emergency department use rather than actual empiric data, which we are going to be discussing a bit today. Additionally, in addition to looking at the numbers, we'll look at some of the characteristics and diagnoses of these individuals, and I think importantly as well for setting the stage for policy interventions, looking at some of the costs associated with the emergency department use by those who are homeless. So why does it matter? Obviously, you all are here because you think it matters, so I appreciate that. But the homeless have higher rates of use than other groups. The average individual has somewhere around 35 visits per 100 individuals, according to the most recent NAMCS data. However, the homeless use it more than twice as frequently. Additionally, there are a large number of presenting complaints that are non-urgent or urgent complaints that could be handled by a primary caregiver if the primary caregiver was in a location that was accessible to the homeless individual at a time when it was needed. Additionally, as we know, emergency department costs are significantly higher than those in the outpatient setting. And we also have seen some of the impacts of reduced quality of care in the emergency department, as well as reduced satisfaction because of long wait times, et cetera. I think we all have family members or acquaintances who can report on that for us. So what we did was we did a review of every individual who visited a single emergency department in the city of Philadelphia in the year 2006. We looked for any individual within that group who had more than five visits, so that's six or more visits. The definition of frequent user has varied in the literature, anywhere from three or more visits to 10 or more visits. We picked greater than five visits, both so that we could handle the sample and do the complete chart review, as well as that was a number that we felt began to really impact the system as a whole. There were 74 homeless individuals who had 846 visits, and we were able to pull the cost data from hospital billing records. So we were able to get both charge and reimbursement data. Definitions, again, we talked briefly about the definition of a frequent visitor. This is something that will continue to evolve over time. I think this is a reasonable estimate. Additionally, definition of homeless. In order to identify those frequent visitors who were homeless, we did a two-step kind of process. Some individuals did identify themselves as homeless or undomiciled, and others may have reported a address that we knew to be one of the shelters or hospice programs in Philadelphia. All of these individuals were independently confirmed by both an emergency department social worker and my colleague, Dr. Koo, who's the emergency department physician. Again, not surprising for folks who've worked with the homeless population, they are in general male. In Philadelphia, there is a higher proportion of white homeless who happen to use the emergency department at high rates. I think what we'll see again, as Dr. Weinstein will speak to later, there is an aging cohort of chronic homeless individuals, and these are some of the folks we're catching. insurance distribution. Notably, nobody had private insurance. Again, not surprising. Again, as found in previous studies, a high prevalence of Medicaid insurance. And this is something that's seen across all groups who are high users of the emergency department. Most of them are insured and do actually have Medicaid. As far as visit frequency, there was a difference between the frequent users who were who had more than 10 visits, who were homeless, versus those who were housed. The homeless were more likely to be those extremely high users. In fact, as you all probably know from your experience as well, the emergency department physicians and social workers could pick out those individuals who were the high users in both groups. As far as diagnoses go, again, this is something that is pretty unsurprising. Again, the number one presenting cause for all users in the emergency department is either abdominal pain or chest pain. That's something that we found here as well. I think notably, trauma as well as psychiatric and substance use tends to be at a higher rate among the homeless than the housed. Again, the N here is number of visits. These were all diagnosis codes. The NAMCS data had demonstrated that the highest number of visits occur in the winter months and in the summer months. We found with the high users, the high frequency users, really was mostly the summer months in Philadelphia. Unsurprising, since these are folks who are frequently exposed to the extremes of temperature and the resulting dehydration. There was really no pattern that we could identify among the as far as day of the week when people present. Consistent with findings, again, from the national databases, most of the homeless individuals and the high-frequency users did present during the second shift between the 3 and 11 time frame. And although there were slightly more that presented in third shift than some of the other groups. As far as whether these people were presenting for reasons that were emergent or not, what we see is that only about 12% were admitted, more than 64% were discharged either home or to the shelter. There's no respite program in the city of Philadelphia at this point, which we'll talk about later. This, again, correlates pretty well with national numbers, where somewhere between 12 and 18% are admitted. So looking at the cost, basically, these 74 individuals had more than $4.8 million in total charges and only about 17% reimbursement rate. This is much lower than the national reimbursement rate and is lower than Jefferson's reimbursement rate as well, which is around 30% on average. 95 of these visits had charges of more than $10,000. Those were almost all admissions. Nine visits resulted in total charges for that episode of care of more than $100,000. Interestingly, and I think again something that we'll talk about when we discuss some of the implications, more than 200 of these visits, or a quarter, really had no reimbursement at all for the hospital. There are two different kinds of high cost or high frequency users. One is actually one of my patients, JR, who was only in Philadelphia for about 6 months of that year in 2006. However, during that time, she had charges more than $500,000, extensive admissions. As you might expect, she suffered from a variety of chronic diseases as well as mental health issues, COPD, congestive heart failure, and previous MI. So if she shows up, she's going to most likely get admitted. And then RT, who is a gentleman who has had a previous subarachnoid hemorrhage, who also has chronic alcoholism, and he is, every time that he came in, he had a head CT because he was found down unconscious when he was brought in. So as far as a quick summary of what the numbers show us, there were a reasonably large number of users, 529 out of 5,000 of the 25,000 total visits were by frequent users. The homeless made up a significant proportion of this, and in fact, in greater a greater percentage of the total frequent visits than one would expect from their numbers. No homeless individual was had private insurance, and 20% were uninsured. This is an area that clearly we could address because most of these individuals would qualify for that kind of coverage. Additionally, it's important to note that many of these presenting cases could be addressed from a primary care perspective. And again, unsurprisingly, substance use and trauma were also frequent diagnosis codes for these frequent visitors. Summarize, the top 12 users had costs individually of more than $100,000 of charges, reimbursement rate being only about 17%. Still, that leaves a significant amount of money that potentially could be repurposed to providing improved care for the homeless, either through the hospital itself or through the City of Philadelphia Department of Health, or indeed the insurance companies themselves, since Medicaid bears the highest burden of this. It's important to look at the people who have the highest use. These are sometimes the folks who we can reduce their use in a way that will have meaningful impact on their health, most importantly, but also on the health of the healthcare system. A large number of these folks are homeless, we need to be aware that their needs do not end at the physical presentation. And some of the interventions that we'll hear more about today, including Housing First efforts with Pathways and other groups, and opportunities for respite care and alternative ways of reaching out to this population, similar to those pioneered by the Camden Coalition and Dr. Brenner of street outreach teams, may be both appropriate and affordable. Any questions?
I'm just curious, yeah. In the hospitals, if I know sometimes that you have all these things you're trying to peel away, there's substance abuse and mental illness,
right,
and brain trauma. And do you have folks working in the hospital that are sort of like benefits coordinators? I mean, I know discharge planners often, if you don't have respite and you don't know where to send them, but getting their benefits rolling.
Great question. So what we noted when we did this evaluation as well is we looked to see whether social work was specifically consulted for individuals who were homeless or who were identified as frequent users. And that happened, but not as often as it should happen. Unfortunately, like all the emergency departments across the country, because of the incredible rates of use, it's hard for them to concentrate the time necessary to provide that kind of care and follow up, the important part. Yes, please.
So just to follow up to that, because Medicare is one of the, or
Medicaid
is one of the few entitlements that can be applied retroactively. So it just seems that there's a lot of money left on the table for no apparent reason.
100%, and I think that's one of the things that we're, our kind of plans are to take this to our local hospital. And then, obviously, this is an undercount of utilization because it's the biggest limitation, it's one site, we don't see where they're using other emergency departments. That patient, JR, I've gotten calls because she's visited four emergency departments in the same day. So, for the same thing, chest pain. So, I definitely agree.
And just one other question. Is there any, have the hospitals, I'm a social worker, so I'm less familiar with the medical approach, this, but it would seem that there's a benefit to the hospital to even do health outreach.
100%. I absolutely agree. We have to convince folks, and sometimes, unfortunately, it's the numbers.
They're wasting by not doing it.
Yeah. That's our hope, definitely. Yes?
I have just one comment.
Please.
We have, in our hospital, I live in the third poorest city in the nation, Buffalo, New York.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And we have emergency room intervention programs there now, where, and I work for the state health department too. So we have a form that we've taught secretarial staff to complete. So if I come in and I say, I don't have health insurance,
It's just a real simple form. It's been approved by our state for them to apply for Medicaid. And it just hits their name, their address, their phone number. Now, if they're at homeless shelter, I don't know, City Mission, whatever, they put that down. And then if they get admitted, once they're up in the hospital, of course, they're connected to health insurance. But if they're not admitted, then those forms go to what are called facilitated enrollers, who help and assist the uninsured through health insurance. And then the facilitated enroller connects with their person in the community.
That's great.
So that they, so we don't, you're not going to have a 20%, or you shouldn't have a 20%.
And do they go out like live in person, face to face?
I do, and yes, a lot of times
that's
if
great.
We're going into a real impoverished area, I'll accompany the facilitated enroller down on the reservation, or if it's you know, in a part of the city where maybe there's a lot of gang activity or whatever. Yeah. We do that, and that works.
And that's similar to some of the stuff being done in Camden as well, with kind of the outreach teams with social work as well as an RN and case management. That's awesome. Yeah. We hope to be able to talk about that next year for sure. Any other questions? Yes. Thank you.
You didn't address it in this particular situation, but in real world, you do address prescription medication for your patients as they are discharged.
As far as follow-up goes? So it depends. There's a little bit of discretion for antibiotics for the emergency department to provide a complete course of PO antibiotics for like a cellulitis or an abscess status post-IND. But there is less flexibility in hypertensive medications, or especially diabetic testing supplies. That's something that we have not really addressed. Again, something that would be a reasonably priced intervention to pay, you know, the $4 Walmart cost for a 30-day supply, rather than having them come back in. Could pay for a lot of medications that way, and the training on how to take them and talk about side effects. Awesome. Thank you all very much. Sorry, I was so nervous.